Thank you for listening.
Urbana. This is See You at the Show coming up on coming up next on WFT. See you at the show. This is Eric Schacht, and I'm back in the studio with Linda Evans. Only our second live show in 13 months, Linda.
Yeah, we're still a little rusty being back in here, obviously.
I know.
Which is fine. You're doing a great job.
I don't know. I feel bad. Surfabilly Freakout didn't get its usual hype, and finding our way around here in the studio, it's so foreign to me.
Yeah, it's different, but you know, we're getting back in the swing of things, and theater's getting back in the swing a little bit,
and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right
We don't have any guests.
Yeah, it's just the two of us.
We've always said we could pull this off if we had to.
Yeah, and we did last time, so, and we have before. But yeah, I mean, you won't get sick of us.
You just, now I wanted to really lower the expectations of us having never done this before.
No, we need high expectations, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like a good cop, bad cop.
Well, yeah, the listener line is lighting up. People are affirming us, and look at all the Facebook's blowing up.
Right. Anyway, so... So there's some theater going on. We kind of missed some theater.
Yeah, it's great. The U of I, it had been.
They had
is that a series? Were you saying this is a series?
I don't know if it's a series or not. But we had bought tickets to see Ordinary Days.
Yeah, it ran for 2 weeks. I think three shows each week at the end of the week.
I think they only missed one because of weather.
Mm-hmm.
And it was outside, and we heard wonderful things about it. So, we. We heard it was really good.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a neat way to do theater.
Long time.
I was trying to remember if it was 7 or 8. Okay, I'm losing track. So we're week 8 of COVID-19.
And excitingly, we keep on finding new things to cover and new ways to share how theater is being brought to the community and how our incredibly talented and innovative theater community is finding new ways to do that.
Right, and I'm so excited about Jackie Lowenstein being on. Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
Because she's proven that there can be theater online.
Right, and even though I feel a little protective of our own show's motto of the show must go on, I think that the derivative under the circumstances, the show must go online, that you pulled off last night was such a tremendous success. Just want to say congratulations.
Well, thank you. And yes, I guess I could say I pulled it off last night because we had our premiere on YouTube, but it is alive and well and will stay on YouTube forever. This is one of those unusual situations where the publisher of the musical you to put it on YouTube, whereas most publishers prohibit it. This company is happy to have its musicals out there for the world to see and enjoy, which I love. And that's why I've done 6 musicals by this company and was happy to do this one. So
where can people find The Show Must Go Online? Or
The Show Must Go Online.
Online, okay. I was like, wait, right? Okay, The Show Must Go Online, and they can find it at?
Well, Class Act is my studio, so it's, if you went on YouTube and just looked up Class Act Show Online or something like that, you'd probably get to it. Okay. Or just Class Act Champagne. We have a YouTube page with this musical as well as all of the other ones that I've done in the past few years.
And we'll link to it on See You at the Show Facebook page. We'll have a link directly to the YouTube page and also to your own Class Act Facebook page.
And last night you actually did it. It was, you recorded it, but you premiered it live. Right.
So the whole
through the process of how that worked.
Yeah. So let's see, like from the beginning in a nutshell, the script was published on April 5th and I think 5th or 6th was put out there for anyone who wanted to license it. I went ahead and licensed it and sent it out to a group of students from my studio, my Showstoppers troupe, who I've been working with closely, and gave them kind of first dibs on if they wanted to be in it. Then I sent them all the scripts and made a little spreadsheet with all of the different roles and had them send it back to me, noting their top choices in order if they wanted. And, you know, from there I kind of put the puzzle together. And some of them just said, wherever you see me is fine. You know, not all of them had strong opinions. So I cast it and sent out the list and just told them to start working and memorizing on their own. And as soon as they felt pretty confident with their material, we set up Zoom or FaceTime sessions individually. So I did coaching with each kid at their, you know, in their home for usually about an hour.
And how many kids did it end up being?
There were 19. Yeah, 19.
So from them getting the script to premiering last night, how much time did you have?
It was April 14th is when they got their roles. So what is that? Is that 3 weeks? 14th? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 3 weeks from the time they got their roles till I was able to premiere it.
And so you had 19 different people sending in their video clips, right? Ranging, I guess, probably from 45 seconds to 2 minutes, and then you had to put the whole thing together.
Yeah. Once I was happy with where we were at, then I put it together. But the process in between there was the most fun, probably, which is kind of setting up sessions with them in their homes, having them like walk me around, showing me around their rooms and living rooms, or, you know, different places that might work for recording. So, you know, I felt like I was right there and helped them figure out exactly how to frame their scene and like what we wanted in the background and what kind of props or
costumes,
other kind of set dressing we might want, you know. So it all looked very natural, but it was pretty staged in a way. And I talked to them about lighting and where they had windows or if they had lamps or how, you know, what kind of lighting was going to work well and how
did you know what would work? I mean, this is your first time doing this type of thing, right? Did you just have them videotape a little bit, or just as they were walking around, you could tell, or?
What I could see in my FaceTime or Zoom screen, I figured was what we would get when they videotaped. Mm-hmm. So I think I was seeing a pretty realistic view of what the final thing would look like. Although if we're dealing with natural light, it depended on what time of day and if it was cloudy day, you know, so some of them maybe didn't get as great lighting as we wanted just based on what day they were ready to film it.
There was a very meta show that way, because some of the actors were even talking about lighting as if they were a stage manager and or a lighting coordinator. And then you, of course, got to star in your own show, which was super fun, as basically as a version of yourself. No offense.
Kind of a version of myself, yeah. So there's a role for a drama teacher, and I pretty immediately figured I would just play that part because I just thought it would be fun for the kids to see me do it and be more believable than trying to have, you know, a 13-year-old play the drama teacher. And it had the most to do. It had four different monologues. So, you know, I was just like, I'll do that.
It looked like you had a lot of fun.
Yeah. I did. I didn't really give it any thought until I had all of their videos in. And then this was like last Wednesday, I was finally like, okay, I guess I have to figure out who this character is and what am I gonna wear? And I did a practice at like 2 a.m. the night before I was gonna do it. And I just videoed it a little, but it was a blast. And once I saw how good all of the kids' videos were looking, I felt like they raised the bar for me and I really wanted to do a good job too.
Well, I imagine that most of the kids had seen your amazing home video from Falsettos of I'm Breaking Down. So,
I did. I
so
sent
you
it
might
that
have
up.
Actually, you might have set the bar high for them in actuality with that. So you've had two really, really fun achievements of videoing in your home and making theater, you know, survive in some little way during this time of theater, I don't know, struggle and creativity.
So yeah.
How did that work out that each, it seemed like there were exactly the right number of individual segments for the exact number of kids that you had. Did you have some flexibility about how many bits you could do or how you cut them up?
No, I cast the right number of kids.
Oh, I guess that would be the right way to do it.
Yeah. I knew how many spots I had to fill. And there was just one girl, Julia, who I gave two pieces to because they were really connected. They were like the same song done in two different ways. And in the first one, she has trouble with the camera work, so we don't get to see her face very much. So I thought it would be nice to let her come back later in the show and actually show her sweet face.
So you said that this was primarily your Showstoppers group. That's one of two groups that you have historically maintained a class act, is that right?
Right, Showstoppers and Scene Stealers are the two main musical theater programs. And then we have other classes as well. But the Showstoppers—
What ages are the Showstoppers?
The kids in this show were 9 to 13, plus Ellison, who's, she's 16 now, but she's always been my assistant and she was a Showstopper. And she was the stage manager in this show. Mm-hmm. And she was great. She's the only one who I did not direct. She just made that video and sent it to me. And I was like, how did you get so good, girl?
she's forever.
Yeah, but I thought she nailed it.
Yeah, she did. She was always great. And it was fun to see her and her sister together. And that was
sweet. Yeah.
Well, Jackie, what's next for you and what's next for Class Act now that you know you can pull off something virtual? But I know that you're also in a transition period in terms of physical space. So maybe this is just almost, I don't know, like a serendipitous time for you to transition.
It really is. The fact that we had to abandon our space at SoDo on March 15th, which is right when we all had to start staying at home. I don't want to say it makes me happy, but it makes, you know, it gives me some peace that I'm not paying rent on a space that I can't be in. And I wasn't even going to be doing anything with Class Act this past month, and instead I did an online musical. But I think I might spend a little bit more time helping other groups around the world who are working on this online musical right now, because the author of the show and the owner of Beat by Beat Press reached out to me today asking if I would do a live chat. He really liked the production and thought it was a good kind of, what do you call it, prototype or model, you know, something that other groups could learn from.
Were you and the group to actually do the show?
I was not the first one to post it, but he felt like this was the strongest production that he's, you know, seen so far of what's been put out there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch any of the other ones during my process. I took a peek at a couple of them yesterday, but I felt good about it, and I'm glad that he and the other writers agreed. It's a very kind of campy, goofy script, and it requires a certain commitment to that style of humor. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think he was impressed at how my students got it and really just threw themselves into it. And brought all that energy and sense of humor into the script. Yeah.
Well, hopefully the model will be successful to inspire other people to put scripts like this together and other companies like Beat by Beat Press to make them available reasonably and quickly, like they did for you. Yeah. So congratulations, Jackie. This is a great success. We're gonna play this segment out by running the finale, where so our listeners can hear how well you and Final Cut Pro pulled off this this layered effort with the Showstoppers of Class Act, led by the great Jackie Lowenstein. Thank you so much for joining us again. All right, we'll see you soon.
All right, bye.
We are here with Mike O'Brien from the Parkland Theater Company talking about how different groups and companies are coping with the interruption in our theater lives and world. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing all right today. It's a grading day for online classes, but outside of that, we're doing pretty good.
How have the online classes changed for theater right now?
It's tough. Well, certain classes are much tougher than others because, you know, acting classes online are near impossible. I mean, I haven't talked to Latrell, who is dealing with one of the acting classes. I don't know how she's doing it, but Sherry Doyle and myself were teaching costume design and makeup design and costume construction, all of which are hands-on type of classes.
Right.
And literally the last half of the semester, we've had to almost scrap and rethink how to do it. So the actual costume construction stuff had to go out the window, unfortunately, but we've refigured how to design. And the stage makeup, I was able to at least video demonstrate on my daughter and then show them the video, and then they would watch the video and do it on themselves and submit photographs. So that's kind of a midway point between not doing it and restructuring, or, you know, so every class is different, because I have a script analysis class that, quite frankly, hasn't, I mean, outside of me combining a couple projects, the outcome is about the same, and the way it's being handled is the same, and they're quite capable of doing it without me being present during the classroom. So yeah, it just depends. It's class to class, depending on what the subject is.
Had you ever taught an online class before at Parkland?
No. I was thrown in head first. I have no idea what I'm doing, or had no idea, I don't say that.
Right.
Now I'm getting quite adept at email communication and video producing and things of this nature.
Right. It's what you've described with the online classes is almost like a microcosm of how theater is in general. Some mm-hmm. things you can adapt to online. There are certain types of productions that you can convey over either a Zoom or a Facebook Live or something like that. But there's other things that just are inherently either hands-on, like you said, or involve the intimate interaction of people. And
correct.
So,
right.
It's interesting to see how groups are trying to survive as theater companies with these limitations. And it's mm-hmm. provoking a lot of creativity, actually.
Yeah, I run a small puppet theater company. I do local shows and kids shows for libraries and schools and things like that. And I take kids' picture books and bring them, you know, put them into puppet form, and I tour with them. That has pretty much dried up at the moment because I can't take a carload of materials to anywhere and set up and do a show in front of a live audience. So as soon as classes are over, my wife and I are trying to figure out how we can do it through videos. You know, we're gonna try and put stuff up on, because a lot of these libraries are desperate for summer content, and they can't have anybody in the buildings. So we're gonna try and figure it out, and one way or another, we'll do something.
Yeah, it seems like puppets, you could do a lot with that you couldn't do with, because you could have one person doing multiple people, right?
Right, I think, yeah. I mean, because of Henson and the way they do things, you know, puppetry is something that can be easily done through the camera.
Right.
But it's just something I had never done, and
right.
Now I'm gonna do it, so.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the puppet theater company. Do you have a website or a Facebook page or anything to promote yourself?
Yes, both, actually. Clothespin Puppets, clothespinpuppets.com. Gets everything about the theater company and what we can do. And there's a little bit of a Facebook page. It's got some stuff on it, but lots of pictures.
Okay, and where do you find the content for the shows that you do? Do you do original material or?
No, I actually stumbled across the format. I was working at Barnes & Noble many, many years ago, and I was working in the children's section, and Barnes & Noble does a weekly story time. Kids come in, one of the booksellers reads a couple books, you know, a small activity. So I got there and I got into the children's section and they asked me to do the story time. So I started reading kids' books, like, you know, these are made fun little puppet shows. And I did, I made a couple. And lo and behold, 12 years later, it has turned into a full-fledged business. So most of my work is kids' picture books. And because of that, libraries and schools book me as reading fundamentals and that kind of thing.
Nice.
To promote literacy.
Uh-huh. Very cool.
So back to Parkland, you have no summer theater, so you don't have the heartbreak of a lot of the community theater groups having to say goodbye to shows, but you did have to put one really exciting one to bed.
We did, and it was kind of heartbreaking because so many people were involved, and they were 2 or 3 weeks into rehearsal. The set was probably 80% done and finished, and it might still be standing there. I don't know. I haven't always been in the building. But yeah, people were just heartless. We were supposed to do Chicago, and people were roaring for it and gung-ho, and yeah, it just literally got, we got taken out at the ankles with it, so.
Did you guys think at all about moving Chicago to the fall? To the 2021 season?
Only briefly, because Brian Morgan, our head of the production stuff there, he'd already acquired rights and everything for the 2021 season.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, we had already signed contracts for the rights to everything else. So by the time we got to the Chicago debacle, if you will,
right,
yeah, everything had been already set and approved, so yeah. We thought, oh, can we do it, like, yeah, we can't, unfortunately.
Well, I think us fans of musical theater and community theater just saw the cast that had been put together for that show, and it was just,
oh, yeah,
like, these are people that are meant to play these roles in a show that just, the excitement level was through the roof. And even as somebody who unsuccessfully auditioned for the show, I've never seen auditions have the buzz and the numbers and the excitement.
Right. The buzz and excitement. It's a good couple of phrases. It was all there, right? I mean, even for a week past when we had to cancel, you know, people were still, ah!
Right, I know.
About it, you know? And
yeah, but we had Jake and Hannah come on and do a show just maybe 2 weeks or so after it canceled, just to give them a forum to,
right,
perform. And Jess was just amazing.
Yeah,
the Mary song, that was.
No, Heather Ann Lehman, who was staff at Parkland and set to stage manage, even had a little running schedule on Facebook about, we would have opened tonight. Tonight would have been tech.
Right.
It's hard. I was not involved with any of it, having just gotten off of Christmas Carol.
Right.
But to see everybody's reaction to it, it's just, yeah, it's a heartbreaker. It's about the best word I've got for it.
Yeah. When some of the other companies, Station in particular, was able to, because they hadn't set their fall programming yet, is still hoping that we can move the fall shows, which is Falsettos, the musical, and then The River, to the fall season. But we're considering the fall to be unknown about whether or not actors will be able to act safely, whether we'll be able to have people come into the theater under those circumstances. Now, the Parkland Theater starts in mid-October. Are you going full steam ahead as though you will be able to have shows and have audiences as normal?
At this point, that's the plan. But again, at this point, we are hoping for the best, kind of preparing for the worst kind of situation, you know, because I talked to Brian a little bit, and like, yeah, we're gonna, unless somebody tells us no, we kind of have to just move forward as normal.
Right.
Because trying to anticipate what if and if we don't, and it's almost impossible to kind of plan three different scenarios at once.
Yeah.
Will Parkland do whatever, so if the U of I opens up for classes, will Parkland do the same, or do they do their own separate thing, or, you know, who makes those decisions on whether classes will be held in person or online?
That's the very, very upper administration. Based on everything, you know, all the medical information coming in and all of the trends and the data and what have you, and what the governor says, things like that.
Right.
But that is pretty much the president and the higher up deans are making those decisions at this point.
Yeah. Now, so, of the six shows on the Parkland schedule, there are two of the shows that are actor studio shows. And so I would imagine that those would be ones that you, even if there was a situation where audiences weren't allowed to come and it wouldn't make sense for a community theater to do a performance, I wonder, might an actor's studio class go on because it's more about the process and about building a show? Is that something you would consider?
That is absolutely something we would consider. If nobody could come to the shows, and if we're still in classes, I mean, if we were still able to be physically on campus and holding classes in the rooms, doing the smaller shows, in, you know, as an academic exercise is certainly a possibility.